It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore now a Menominee Nation language immersion charter school. It's open in Kashina on the Menominee Tribe's reservation. It's called Kakinawapatak Charter School. And the word referencing the traditional way members of the Menominee Tribe learned language and skills through observation. Join in on Indigenous languages, how to save them, fluency for future generations, 800-642-1234. Kakakachawan Kara Bisa is a Menominee language immersion instructor with the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. Kara, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Posomi.
Hello, and Waknawe Ben Greeno is Menominee Language and Culture Coordinator with the Menominee Indian School District. Ben, welcome to you.
Also.
So, Ben, let's start with you. The Menominee School District has been teaching children in daycare and Head Start settings the Menominee language. What is the next step here with the charter school?
Well, we're continuing their education process. A lot of our kids have been immersed in the language since birth. So we're trying to move along with their immersion experience and their language learning. And so we're starting off this year with a pre-K and K, two classrooms. And each year for the next few years, we're going to be adding on another classroom, another grade level.
This is such a momentous thing for you because you've been working so hard to get it off the ground. What does it feel like in these first few days that this charter school is opened?
Well, you know, I think personally, like I don't know how to prepare for this. You know, I feel like I'm prepared, but coming back to a traditional idea of what Menominee education is, it's something that hasn't been done since, you know, probably before the boarding school. So figuring out how do our students immerse themselves in the language, in the forest classroom, in our regular indoor classrooms. I think that's something that's really exciting, but something that's also very scary.
And Kara, let's turn to you. With school starting, you're one of the teachers. Can you tell us what you've experienced so far?
So far, it's been quite a learning experience. It's only been a few days, but it's my first time working with children who haven't been with the immersion program since birth. But I feel a lot of hope coming into our classroom, and I can already see so much growth.
Young children, they're, you know, said to absorb language, a second language, more easily than adults. How important is it, Kara, to immerse the students early in that pre-K and kindergarten years?
Well, coming into this, the idea of teaching only in Menominee to children who haven't been exposed to much of it, or as much as the other kids, was kind of a daunting or like a really intimidating task to come into. But since beginning teaching for a program, I see firsthand daily how naturally it all comes to them. And we can't forget that language is an integral part of who they are as Menominee children, and that alone sets them up for success. So it's important that we keep fostering that for them to help them build that sense of identity in the classroom and outside of the classroom.
Language is integral to who they are. And I'm wondering, Ben, how endangered is the Menominee language?
Well, when the immersion program first started, there were very few, if any, children under five who were being raised in the language. And now we have a population here at this school of 33 students that'll be totally immersed in our language and in our daycare and Head Start. I'm not sure how many we have now, but maybe Kara would be able to tell you like what the amount of students that are in there and yeah.
Kara, what, you know, how do you see that in terms of the number of children that you're trying to really just engross in the Menominee language so that more people can speak it?
With the number of children? Kind of just like I said before, I feel like it's a little bit of an intimidating task at first. You kind of wonder how you're going to do it and how it's all going to work, but it falls together a lot more naturally than you would expect it to, which is great. We have kids who will be coming here through the daycare and through the language nest. I think, Wattenway, to answer part of your question too, we have a baby room up to, I think, a year and a half at the early Head Start, a two-year-old room and a three-year-old room. I'm not sure how many kids are in each room, but hopefully those kids will come through Kakena Wapatet when they're able to, when they hit the 4K age as well.
What is the language nest?
That is what originally started in the daycare, I believe, in 2017. That was in the daycare setting. And just recently, they've been moving over to our tribal Head Start building to continue on with immersion for the birth to three age.
And with immersion in this charter school setting, you know, is there instruction dual language? Is there some English mixed into instruction, or is it purely in the Menominee language?
Right now, everything that we're doing is purely in Menominee language.
Oh, wow. That's so incredible. How does that feel for you? I mean, as a teacher, that too must be a challenge.
Yeah, it's completely different from everything that I feel like I learned when I was getting my higher education. It's just something completely different and new, and every day is different, and we just kind of take it day by day and do our best.
I'm going to reintroduce you. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Menominee Nation's Kakena Wapatet Charter School. It opened in recent days. Ben Greeno here and Kara Bisa, educators at the school. You can join in at 800-642-1234 on passing on Indigenous languages and how to prevent language loss in your community. 800-642-1234. Ben, what is the school's instructional model? What are you modeling it after?
Well, we really looked at many different kinds of education models, methodologies. One thing that really caught on early on was the Montessori model, looking at kind of following what the child's needs and wishes are growing up. I think that really models a similar education track as what a traditional Menominee education model would be. We've also looked at Waldorf and Forest Kindergartens and as many different kinds of models that seem like they would fit well with our immersion needs.
And you mentioned a forest earlier. What does the natural world have to do with how you're teaching the children?
Oh, man. Well, you know, our language is very bird-based. And many of the things that happen in the forest, the things that we're doing, are really directly related to, we have the vocabulary for that. And I know Kara would be able to speak a little bit more about that, because she's out there doing it and using the language. And so hopefully Kara would be able to say something about that too.
Yeah, go ahead about the language and making sure that you have to find words for all these concepts. And maybe, you know, I'm wondering, you know, can you explain how the Menominee language differs from English or other European languages, Kara?
Okay, well, beginning my language journey, I started as an adult a few years ago. And in the beginning, it was a constant effort to unlearn a lot of the English rules, practices, ideals. Things are so different in Menominee language, the way you order your sentences, what's considered animate and inanimate, living and non-living, is different in Menominee than it is in English. So you talk about things a different way. But what I'm finding so far is that children don't seem to have this issue, at least not at this age anyway, because they're seeing the world through new eyes and they have an opportunity to see the world and learn through their own unique Menominee perspectives while we're outside in the forest.
Are there any words or concepts that are difficult to translate for you into Menominee?
I think the most difficult part is explaining how some of it is different. Like, for example, in English, a rock would be considered non-living, but in Menominee, it's considered living. So trying to teach the children to care for these different objects in a different way is something new that we're working on.
Hmm. Let's bring on a call. Joe is joining us from Star Lake. Joe, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I wanted to talk about radio drama, radio plays. By the way, I wanted to mention this idea of language that looks at what we think of as inanimate, as living things, is very important, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. My wife and I, starting in the 1990s, started doing extensive work with radio drama in schools, and often half the kids in the class wouldn't have spoken. It was mostly in English, but, you know, would be Hmong speakers or Spanish speakers. We found it was this tremendous motivation for any language, because the kids would record, there'd be some sound effects which they loved, to make the thunder sheet or the coconuts or whatever. We'd write in these sound effects, and then we'd record, which you can do now very easily, the children recording their play.
Hmm.
And then they had something to take home, and their aunts and their grandmother, you know, could listen to it. And so here you're really motivating someone to have a real world use of the language that they're learning, and it's fun, and they do it collectively. It's just, there's so many hidden things, and you don't cast by appearance, and at the end of the play they say their names, but they don't say they played this character, because somebody played the footstep of the character. So you get away from the whole star system of the theatrics, which can be kind of destructive. It's really a gem of a way to teach language.
Joe, thank you for that. And Ben, I'm wondering, are there tools like perhaps dramas or other ways to be able to convey the language?
Oh yeah, we've been really really interested in some of the things that are coming out of, like for instance the new Predator movie Prey has been done in done in the Comanche language, looking at something like Moana in the Maori language, or even Star Wars in Navajo. And they go through and I've watched these, and they do all the sound effects, and they do everything that would make the even the mouths be similar, the mouthing of the words similar to what the language is. It's really amazing, and I love that idea of a radio drama. I used to listen to like the old radio dramas that came out of like England, I think, with mm-hmm. The Hobbit, and even the Star Wars radio dramas that NPR put out, I think. And I love that idea, and I think there's definitely potential with our storytelling tradition to pursue something similar to that.
Along those lines, I wonder, Ben, is there technology or software, and Kara, you know, jump in here, that could help in learning indigenous languages or endangered languages like the, you know, Menominee language? Or is this really all about elders to do this work of passing on language?
You know, we've done a lot of things with like software and those things, it seems like they get tremendous amount of attention right away,
mm-hmm.
and then it dies off really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a lot of money into like something with software, and people use it for a little while, and then something else comes along. So I think what we're doing here is really trying to take it back a few steps to our original like oral tradition.
We're talking with Waknawe Ben Greeno, Menominee Language and Culture Coordinator for the Menominee Indian School District. Kakakachawan Karabisa is a Menominee Indian Tribe's language immersion instructor as we look at the launch of a language immersion charter school based on Menominee values and, of course, the language. Join in on the school, How to Save Indigenous Languages, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent as we explore a new charter school that will help protect and preserve the language of the Menominee people and its values, Kakina Wapatak Charter School. It's open for pre-K and kindergarten. This is dozens of Native American languages have gone extinct. More are endangered. Join in 800-642-1234. We have Ben Greeno, who is Menominee Language and Culture Coordinator for the Menominee Indian School District, and Karabisa, Menominee Indian Tribe's Language Immersion Instructor. They stay with us. We heard from Kate in Sheboygan, called in and couldn't stay with us, but Kate is a representative of the Menominee Tribe and wanted to congratulate you both on opening the school. Kate said that the Menominee culture and language means that we will survive, and it is important for the 7 generations to come, Kate said. Kara, how do you feel about those words?
Well, I just want to say Wawen and for the congratulations. And I know all of us here at Kakena Wapatat totally agree with everything she's saying. The whole reason we're doing what we're doing is for everybody that's going to come after us. And our hope is with this school, the children we're teaching are going to carry on these language efforts as well while they grow, and they can keep building on everything that's been started for Kakena Wapatat.
Ben, what does society gain by having children learn the Menominee language?
Oh, you get to see a completely different worldview. Our kids are going to be seeing the world through our language, and that's really a beautiful thing. They're going to see, they're going to have an understanding of what it means to be Menominee, living in Wisconsin, our homelands. It'll be a totally different view than I have, than Kara probably has, and that's really exciting, and it's really there's the potential and the hope that's behind all of the things that we're doing. It's really a beautiful thing to be a part of, and a beautiful legacy to pass on, like Kara was saying.
Let's bring on another caller. Rit is with us from Madison. And Rit, you teach French, is that right?
That's right.
What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I teach at UW-Madison, and in teaching French, I have discovered that Quebec is an area of my expertise, and I teach a French class in French to American students primarily. And there have been there's been a wave of Indigenous writers in Quebec that have become noticeable in Quebec that are publishing in French, which is their language, sort of like native writers in the U.S. writing in English. And so that has become easier and easier to teach as part of American students learning French and learning about Quebec, because they're learning about Indigenous writers who write in French but who include Innu language, for example, in their work and inside the text of their stories and so on. So I see that coming. I'd love to see that start to emerge in the upper Midwest and the U.S. too also. And I'm wondering if, like, how we, those of us who teach, like, other world languages like French or German or Spanish or Russian or something like that, how we can help regionally or in the state here in your efforts. I mean, I'm thinking of WAFLT, which is the Wisconsin Association for Language Teachers. It meets once a year in Appleton. Most states have something like that. Mm. And ESL teachers and French teachers and Spanish teachers all gather and share ideas about pedagogy and about, you know, promotion and outreach to stakeholders and all that kind of stuff. Are you part of that community? Could you be more? Is there a way we could join you in somehow and all kind of to promote teaching Indigenous language and immersion in Wisconsin?
Rit, thank you for that. Kara, you first.
Well, for us, you know, everything with teaching and immersion is still pretty fairly new to me. I've been with the immersion program since 2020, so I'm still learning a lot about the connections we have and the different help that we can receive. So this is a great question for me to learn about too. But we would love to know more about the different pedagogies and different strategies and things you're implementing that we can take and sort of make Menominee and see what we can use with our children.
Ben, what would you like to say there?
I totally agree. I think that the more conversations we have and the more understanding we have of other best practices in the field, no matter if it's French or Russian or German or Spanish, we all are working kind of towards the same thing, you know, and I think that that there's a lot of sharing that needs to happen both ways. So
let's go to Dustin now in Eau Claire. Dustin, hi.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. What would you like to add?
Well, I just wanted to comment on the worldview aspect of it. First, I think this is a really impressive model because you're leading from the front with children and you're teaching them. And I think that that's going to bring a lot of adults back into the culture as well in learning with them. And then in addition to that, like we talk a lot about, you know, you just said it, Spanish, French, all of these international languages. And I think that Native Americans get overlooked as to what they've contributed to society and how we've shaped things. So I think this is a really exciting opportunity for everyone, and I'm glad that this is part of our community.
Dustin, thank you. Ben, in our final moments together, what would you like to add?
I agree, and I think that that Dustin, I think that we all need to come together and share these models and share the our successes, our failures, and how we. How resilient our language is and how powerful it is once we start using it and understanding the world around us.
Well, Ben and Kara, thank you so much for joining us and all the best wishes on the charter school.
Waiwanin.
Waiwanin.
Ben Greeno, Menominee Language and Culture Coordinator for the Menominee Indian School District, and Kara Bisa, Menominee Indian Tribes Language Immersion Instructor. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.